Aren't you just glad to be in the house this morning? You know, I'm reminded of the story of the prodigal son. You know, he ran away from the house, and then he realized that, you know what, I did wrong, I have to come back. And so he came back. But also we miss the fact that, you know, the dad, how much the dad was looking forward for him to come back home. And anytime we come here, God is looking forward to just welcome us back from a long week. Believe me, he's glad to see you in the house this morning. Give him a shout of praise this morning. Hallelujah. Shall we close our eyes, please? Father, your word says the entrance of your word brings light. I come against any barrier that would dare stand in the way of your word this morning. Lord, apart from the light it brings, O God, may it bring freedom, may it bring deliverance, O God. May it bring guidance, Father. May it bring peace, O God, and may it fulfill every purpose and every reason for which, O God, you brought them here this morning. Hallelujah. Take your seats, please. Oh, would you like to turn with me to the book of Genesis, please? Genesis chapter 26. Genesis chapter 26 from verse 12. Genesis chapter 26 from verse 12. Genesis chapter 26 from verse 12. Now watch this. It says, Isaac planted crops in that land. Isaac planted crops in that land and the same year reaped 100-fold because the Lord blessed him. 13. The man became rich and his wealth continued to grow until he became very wealthy. How about that for expansion? How about that for expansion? The man became rich and his wealth continued to grow until he became very wealthy. Now, I like to title my sermon today. The title of it is going to be Hundredfold Expansion. Hundredfold Expansion. You know, the Bible says, Isaac planted crops, and in that same year, he got 100-fold. For every seed he put in the ground, he got 100 times that, every single seed. And not only that, he kept growing, he kept increasing, he kept expanding until he became very wealthy. It is my prayer that every single person here will continue to grow, every single here will continue to increase, every single person here will continue to expand, especially in the area that God has called you to expand. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. But you know, as I was reading this verse, as I was reading, my initial thought was, God, I understand that you did this for Isaac. You know, you gave him 100-fold return. I don't doubt that you did it at all for him. Because any God who can put the universe together the way you did can easily do this. Any God who can put flesh on dry bones and cause them to come back to life can do this. Any God who can cause the sun to stand still so that his children will win their battles can do this. But the question is, God, is it applicable to my life today? How do I apply this to my life today? Is it possible to get 100-fold return in the things that I do, in the work that I put my hands to do? Is it possible to get 100-fold return? And I'm asking God this question, is it possible? I know you can do it, but can I see it in my life? Can I see it in my life? Can I see it in the area that I work? Can I see it in my ministry? Can I see it in the area that I put? Can I see it, God? And I was thinking, I said, God, I know you can do it. But at times, it doesn't feel like that. You know? At times, it feels like you're working so hard. And Lord, I'm not seeing anything that is coming out. I'm not seeing the fruits of all the hard work. So, Lord, is this possible? And as I kept saying this, you know, God cast my mind back to the story of Gideon. I don't know how many of you know the story of Gideon. You know, the Bible says Israel was under attack from the Midianites. You know, and as a result, they were all hiding in caves and shelters and mountains to stay away from the Midianites. And then one day, Gideon was on his farm working, threshing wheat on a wine press. And then suddenly, an angel appears. And this is what the angel says, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior or mighty man of valor." Then suddenly, Gideon stopped and said, "What? The Lord is with me? Honestly, right now, it doesn't feel like the Lord is with me. Because if God is with me, why are we being under attack? Why are our enemies attacking us? It doesn't feel like that. If God is with us, why is he not delivering us from all that we are going through? If God is with me, why do I keep going in and out of hospital every time? If God is with me, how come I can't see any breakthrough in my finances? If God is with me, why am I going through all these relationship issues? If God is with me, why? I can't see all this." And then all this time, the angel was there just looking at Gideon. And then he said to Gideon, "I'm going to use you to bring deliverance to Israel." And you read it in the book of Judges chapter 6. Pardon me? You're not probably getting what I'm saying. Look, my tribe is the least in Israel. And I'm the smallest in all my family. How are you going to use me? And he goes and complain. And I felt God saying, Godfrey, this is the problem. You know, people want to walk on water, but they don't want to get out of the boat. They don't want to get out of the boat. This is the same guy who's complaining that he wants to see what God did for his forefathers. And yet I'm trying to use him and he's refusing to be used. How is he going to see what I did for his forefathers? Even at some point, Gideon said this. He said, God, you split the Red Sea for our forefathers. So how come you can't deliver us? And God is saying, look, if you want to see the miracles, then you've got to step out. It wasn't until the Israelites got to the edge of the Red Sea before it split it. It wasn't until they got to the edge. And so until you step out and do what God asked you to do, then you might not see the miracles that you're believing him for. Hallelujah. And so I said, God, wow, is this possible? Lord, is this possible? Then I came across the scripture in Mark chapter 10, verse 27. Mark chapter 10, verse 27. As I said, God, is this possible? Is this possible to get a hundredfold return in every area of my life? Mark 10, 27, please. Mark 10, 27. Watch this. Mark 10, 27. Now look at this. It says, Jesus looked at them and said, with man this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God. Peter said to him, we have left everything to follow you, Jesus. We have left every single thing. Look, I've left my family, I've left my business, I've left my friends just to follow you, Jesus. Everything I've sacrificed just to follow you. And look at what Jesus says. And Jesus said, I tell you the truth. Jesus replied, no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age. Homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields, and with them persecutions, and in the age to come. I said, wow, wow. Nobody who has left brothers, mothers, sisters, fields, home for my sake will fail to see 100 times expansion, not only in their lives, but even in the life to come with persecution. And I understand the persecution because when you're doing the same thing as somebody is doing, okay, when you're earning the same amount as somebody is earning, and you're living in a 5-bedroom house and driving the latest car, and he's probably living in a studio flat, he wouldn't understand why that is. He'll be envious, he'll be jealous. And then it can lead to persecution. So I understand that. But no, what God is saying here is, look, if you learn to put me first in everything that you do, if you learn to put me first in everything that you do, then you're going to see that breakthrough. If you learn to put me first. And at times, putting God first is simply by saying, God, before I step into this, what's your mind concerning this? Lord, what do you think concerning this? Lord, which way do I go concerning this situation? You put God first in that sense. That's all he's saying. Lord, I put you first before my job. Well, you put God first before your job. Well, he's not going to give you 100 jobs because that might kill you. He's going to give you a job or an outlet that can give you the pay that 100 jobs can give you. And that is what he's saying. Somebody give God a clap. Somebody praise me in the house this morning. Say, learn to put me first. That's all he's saying. Learn to put me first. If you learn to do this, then you see the breakthrough. Then you begin to get the hundredfold reward that I'm talking about. Learn to put me first. And the Bible says in Genesis chapter 26, verse 12, like we read, and it says, Isaac planted in that land. He planted in that land. That land for you is where God has placed you. That land for you is where God wants you to start stepping out and doing what he's called you to do. Can we go back, please? Yeah, let's go back to Genesis 26, actually, verse chapter 1. Watch this, Genesis 26. It says, now there was famine in the land besides the earlier famine of Abraham's time. And Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines in Gerar. Next verse, please. The Lord appeared to Isaac and said, do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land where I tell you to live. Stay in this land for a while and I will be with you and will bless you. For to you and your descendants, I will give all these lands and will confirm the oath I swore to your father Abraham. I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and will give them all these lands. And through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed. Now, this is what was happening. There was famine where Isaac was. So everyone at the time was migrating to Egypt. And at the time, it seemed like the best thing to do. Because there was hardship, there was drought, there was famine, and everyone was migrating to Egypt. So Isaac thought, you know, I might as well do the same thing. But God said, no, don't do it, don't do it. Stay where I will tell you to stay. Even though at right now it may seem that conditions are not great, even though it may seem as though you've got drought in this place, I want you to stay here. Do not go to Egypt like everyone else is going. Verse 5. Because Abraham obeyed me and kept my requirements, my commandments, my decrees, and my laws. So Isaac stayed in Gerar. So he obeyed God and decided to stay. He didn't go. Despite all that he was going through, he put God first before his situation. Somebody understanding me this morning. He put God before his situation. And believe me, if he had gone to Egypt, he wouldn't have had that hundredfold return that he got. But because he obeyed God and stayed, that is why he got that hundredfold return. Now listen, how many of you here this morning know that the voice that you respond to determines the future you experience? The voice you respond to determines the future you experience. It determines the doors that open for you. It determines the blessings that comes your way. It determines the breakthrough that comes your way. The voice you respond to determines it. Now the question is, are you hearing God's voice? And there's times in my life where I said, but God, I can't hear you concerning this situation. And I've been praying so hard and I can't hear you. God, why? And God said, it was like God is saying, look, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. I said, wow, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. So where did I get it wrong, God? My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. You know, in the garden, in the book of Genesis, you know, when God created man in his own image, the Bible says in the cool of the evening, God will come down and have some sort of fellowship with Adam. The whole point is that God always wants us to have fellowship together. And listen, there can be no relationship without communication. So that should tell you that God is constantly wanting to communicate with us. He's constantly wanting to continue to communicate with us. Samuel, the Bible says in Samuel chapter 3, Samuel asked a boy, God called Samuel. And when Samuel heard the voice, he ran to Eli at the time, who was the priest. He says, you called me. He didn't even say, oh, did you call me? He says, you called me. He was so sure that Eli called him. Eli said, no, I didn't call you. Go back to bed. So he went back to bed. And as he was sleeping, he heard the voice again, Samuel. And then he ran back to Eli and said, Eli, did you call me? I said, no, I didn't call you. Are you drunk? I didn't call you. Go back to bed. And then he went back to bed. And for the third time, he heard the voice again, Samuel. And he ran back to Eli and said, you did call me. Eli said, no. But the Bible says at that point, Eli, who was more experienced, perceived that God was calling him. So he said, look, when you hear that voice again, say, speak, Lord. Respond and say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So he went back and he lie down. And then God came again and he called Samuel. And this time he responded and he said, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. And the moment he responded, that guy's life was never the same again. In fact, the Bible says he's a prophet whose word never ever fell to the ground. His life changed. The voice you respond to will always determine the future you experience. It will always determine the future you experience. Some of you were here when the real bishop came in the house, Bishop Dwayne Sweeley, and he spoke about, you know, what's next? What's next? And that message couldn't have come at a better time, believe me. It was an amazing message. But the thing is, you see, if you're not faithful with what's now, if you're not faithful with what God has given you now, don't even think about what's next. Don't even think about it. You need to be faithful with what God has given you now. Then you can say, what's next? And at times, even if you're faithful with what God has given you, you don't even have to ask what's next. The door just opens like that because God has seen your heart and he's seen your faithfulness. Luke chapter 19, Liz, please. Luke chapter 19, verse 12. I just want to show you something quick. Luke chapter 19. He said, a man of noble birth went to a distant country to have himself appointed king, and then to return. So he called 10 of his servants and gave them 10 minas. Now a mina is probably about 3 months' wages. Put this money to work, he said, until I come back. But his subjects hated him and sent a delegation after him to say, we don't want this man to be our king. He was made king, however, and returned home. Then he sent for the servants to whom he had given the money, in order to find out what they had gained with it. Time of accountability. The first one came and said, sir, your mina has earned 10 more. Your miner has earned 10 more. And the next verse he says, well done, my good servant, his master replied. Well done, my good servant, his master replied. What's next? What's next? Well, because you have been trustworthy in a very small matter, take charge of 10 cities. 10 cities. He started off with something small. Something very, very small. And yet he's getting 10 cities. 10 cities. I'm even struggling to understand, you know, a hundredfold expansion. But now 10 cities. 10 cities. Wow. Listen, sir. Well done, 10 cities. Then the second came and said, sir, your money has sent 5 more. And then it carries on. But there's one of them who didn't use the money at all. And God took it back. He took it back of him. Listen, 10 cities. 10 cities says, yes, yes. With man, it's impossible. But with God, it is possible. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen, God would not ask you to do anything that you cannot do. He wouldn't ask you to do anything. It may be challenging. It may be challenging, but it's very manageable. Very, very manageable. Then again, if it's not challenging, believe me, it won't change you. If it's not challenging, it won't change you. And the whole idea of expansion is change. You understand? Change from where you are to something better. Something much more better. So when the challenges come, seek to God and not to man. If it doesn't do that, it won't challenge you. Somebody give God a clap in the house. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. And so, Isaac, Bible says, Isaac sowed in that land. Isaac sowed in that land. Liz, would you please put a picture up there for me? Now look at this. What's this? Pardon? A mustard or tree? That's not a tree. That's a seed. That's a seed. You can't even see this. You can't even see this. That's the mustard seed I've got. You can't even see this. Okay? Now, this thing you see here was once this. I've got a bowl, or a jar rather, full of trees. I've got a jar full of trees here. Okay? Never judge a tree by the size of the seed. Never ever. Or never judge how big. Never ever judge how big your future will become by your present situation. Because you look at your present situation now, you think, wow, God, I can't do this. But never, ever do that. As long as you learn to put things in the hands of God, believe me, that expansion right there. But listen, listen. Unless you decide, this thing has gone through a process to get to where it is. Unless you decide, unless you put this in the ground, this seed, it won't become this. Unless you put this seed in the ground, it won't become this, right? Unless you begin to use the gifts, the talents, the abilities, and the potential God has given you. If you sit on it, you won't get this result. All it will be is that thing here. That thing here. But you're seeing this as seed, I'm seeing this as trees. Trees, 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 trees. And somebody give God a clap in the house this morning. Listen. Listen, God's heart for you is to see you expand. It's to see you expand in every area of your life, in your work, in your ministry, in your marriage life, in every area of your life. But unless you begin to use the gifts and the talents and the abilities that He's placed in you, unless you begin to put them to work, you always remain where you are. But that is not, listen, when Pastor Paul said, God said, this is our year of expansion, you know, it means, to me, it tells me that God has made plans for us already. And one thing you need to look for in this year of expansion is opportunities. Believe me, God will bring them. Because He has said it's your year of expansion. He will bring them. But the question is, if you don't take advantage of the opportunity, you don't lose it. Somebody else takes it. Somebody else takes it. And then you look back and say, oh, wow, had I known I should have taken advantage of this opportunity. But you let it go. So watch out for opportunities. Some opportunities might come even disguised in things that you probably wouldn't think that it's an opportunity. I mean, that is where you need discernment and you need to hear the voice of God concerning that situation. Hallelujah. I want you to be on your feet this morning. Be on your feet right now. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Janita. He says, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. That's what Jesus said. I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. See, the reason why I was asking God, God, is it possible to get a hundredfold return in my life is this. If this doesn't apply to me, if I can't relate to this, then what am I doing here? What am I doing here? I need to relate to the Bible in a way that is very personal to me. He did it for Isaac, great, but Lord, can you do it for me too? Of course he can. He just showed it. And so it is his will and his desire that you expand. He says, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Not only do I want you to prosper here on earth, I want you to prosper everywhere. Listen, there's nothing wrong in getting lots of money. There's absolutely nothing wrong in getting lots and lots of money. It's how you use it that makes it wrong. It's how you use the money that makes it wrong. If you've seen somebody you love die in hospital because they didn't just have money for doctors to cure them, you understand what I'm talking about. Not because doctors couldn't cure them, but because they didn't have enough money, and so they died as a result. And when God expands you, it's not because so that you can impress. No, it's because you can make an impact wherever you are. And that is the plan. I just want you to lift up your hands right now before God. Father, I thank you so much for your word this morning. And I thank you for helping me deliver it the way you asked me to. Father, I lift your children here, oh God, before you. The entrance of your word brings light, oh God. And may the light of God that's been brought to your children today, oh God, begin to turn, oh God. Begin to light their path, oh God. That path of expansion that you've called them to walk on. Father, I pray, oh God, that from this month onwards, God, they will begin to think in line with your will and your plans and your purpose for them. Lord, where anyone, oh God, has missed your purpose, I pray that you bring them back into the plans and the purposes that you have for them. Redirect their footsteps back into the plans and the purposes that you have for them, oh God. Father, may they not miss the plans you have for them in this year of expansion. I pray that you open their eyes to every opportunity, oh God, that you bring their way so that they can take advantage of it. I thank you so much, Father, even for the work that you have started in them. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Hallelujah. Somebody give God praise.